Now Newsfront covers the nation and the national plight of the migrant farm worker, a story being dramatized on both coasts through the efforts of a few individuals, like tonight's guest, Cesar Chavez, now director of the United Farm Workers Organizing Committee of the AFL-CIO. Mr. Chavez has achieved national recognition through his work in organizing grape pickers in California and in mounting successful boycotts against growers and vintners. Joining us tonight is the junior senator from New Jersey, Harrison A. Williams, Jr., Democrat and chairman of the Senate Subcommittee on Migratory Labor. Senator Williams, now in the middle of his second term, is the first recipient of the Father McGowan Award of the National Council for the Spanish-Speaking, among many other honors, and has long been a champion of legislation in the field of migratory labor. So, Chavez, a moment ago we heard Reverend Abernathy's quote that time was running out for the poor in this country. Isn't time running out for the migrant worker? Isn't automation coming in of the future so soon that the question of organizing workers for jobs that may not exist arises?
No, it's not going to come as soon as many people think it is, or as soon as some other people may want it to come. We're going to have need for farm workers for hand labor for many, many years to come. But that really isn't what concerns us. See, the question of automating the fields is like putting the cart before the horse. We're more concerned with poverty, we're more concerned with rights to have a union than we are concerned with automation. Even more important than that, we can't do anything about automation or the problems that it may bring the farm worker if we don't have a union. With this, I'm not implying that we're against progress, but there'll be many, many, many years to come before the need for farm labor and hand labor is done away with.
Senator Williams, though, isn't this a concern, though, as you look ahead in the drafting of legislation, that you're approaching a period, or you can see a period coming, where the question of farm labor and automation will come head-on, and you'll have workers who are perhaps inadequately prepared for other jobs, out of work, and even...
Well, I agree with Mr. Chavez that for a period of time, and I think it will be years, don't you,
yes.
We will have a need for hand labor. Yes, during this period, there will be certain harvesting jobs and planting jobs that will become more and more mechanized, and machinery will move in. But in the interim, our mission is to make sure that the hand harvesters, planters, and cultivators, and harvesters, working people working with their hands, are given a better opportunity to make a decent living. Isn't it as simple as
it's
that?
It's true, yes. And it's not only... people fail to see reasons why we claim that there'll be a need for hand labor for many, many years to come. See, a lot is not... people tend to think that everything's dependent on how soon the machines can be invented and perfected to do the job, and if this is done, they'll be kicked out.
No, but could I interject at this point one observation? You know, people who are now working with their hands in the fields, they are the people who could logically be trained to operate the machines.
That's correct.
Am I right?
Oh, that's correct. Sure.
Yeah.
In many cases, I think it's really the final decision rests with the American consumer public, because in order to be able to use machines in harvesting, you have to adapt the various crops and the fruits and the grapes. In our case. You have to come up with stronger varieties. This changes the color, changes certainly the taste, the fiber.
Well, I'm sure not worried.
I'm
about
worried.
The worker who is now stooping down and going down that row and picking the crops. If his job should become, in a sense, obsolete because of machinery, he can be trained to other jobs. Am I right?
Yes.
And there are so many jobs that are not being filled because people aren't trained.
Well, what I was getting at was, in a sense, when the question of organization comes up, and your drive, Mr. Chavez, to organize workers and some of your success, and the inevitable fact that this does increase the cost to the grower, the labor cost and the cost for improved facilities for the worker, this tends to drive the grower, at least his interest, a little more into looking at automation as a way out of giving the worker the benefit that you feel he needs?
Well, of course, the growers are making quite a case of this, but if we go back 10 years, go back 15 years into the history of agriculture in this country as it concerns, you know, automation, and we see that the reason they haven't brought automation into the farm system is because there's a great concern for the workers. The reason that fields aren't automated is because they haven't been able to develop the machinery to do it with, and not simply because there's a concern about the workforce. There's something to be said about bringing machines into the fields. There are some jobs that I'm convinced that have been automated, and been automated for within the last 10 years. I'm very happy that they're being done with machines, because those jobs were not even fit for beasts of burden, much less people.
Well, I certainly will agree with you.
We, for instance, cotton picking and sugar beets and other work, we're very happy that it's done by machines.
Yeah.
It should have been done by machines always.
I think one of the things that most people are surprised about when they look into this question of migrant labor is the lack of federal law that seems to protect the migrant worker in the same way that federal law protects workers in other industries. Senator, isn't this true?
It certainly is true, and this has been the concern of Congress for well better than a decade. I know that Senator Humphrey, way back in the early 50s, had hearings that dealt with the whole question of bringing farm workers into equality with industrial workers. And it even went back before that to Senator Sparkman when he went to California, as a matter of fact, CSR, and had hearings there. Then we really got our focus when the Labor Committee of the Senate created the Migratory Labor Subcommittee. And, well, I brought... we've done our work, haven't we?
A lot of work. You've done a lot of work.
Yeah, we've done our work. And here are some of our reports. And as a result of all of this inquiry, we brought education, sanitation, housing. We got even a minimum wage for farm workers, which was not in the 34 Act. It only came after all of this. And now we're trying to establish the principle in law that farm workers should have the right to democratically organize in unions if they want to. They don't have to, but at least have the election. If they do elect, then they are the bargaining agent.
Mr. Chavez, are you satisfied that the laws that Senator Williams talks of are being enforced aggressively?
Well, you know, the problem has been always that it's not enough to legislate, and when you legislate and then you've done your job, and then We back home have to be ever alert that these laws be enforced. We have a tradition in agriculture of not enforcing federal legislation. One of the reasons that our strike has taken so long, one of the reasons that I'm in New York tonight, one of the reasons we're boycotting all over the country, one of the reasons we're going to Europe to the common markets to attempt to boycott California struck grapes is that... There's one regulation in the law. It's one regulation that prohibits the hiring of green card commuters.
And these are the what used to be referred to as bracero workers
no.
from Mexico.
Well,
these are legal residents of the United States, but they reside in Mexico and they cross the border every morning to work here, and they return back in the evening. Or
we call them commuters.
Commuters, right? Now, these commuters cannot work in any place where there's a labor dispute and where it's been certified by the Department of Labor. In Delano, we have 24 farms been certified by Secretary Wirtz. No enforcement. This is why it's taken so long. We can't get the... If we could have enforcement today, we'd take care of the...
I mean, you say there are workers from Mexico carrying these green working permit cards.
Not only that...
Working on these farms where there is a labor dispute.
That's
and the
correct.
The federal government is not
that's
prohibiting
correct.
This. Is this...
That's
you
correct.
Know about this?
Not only that. Not only that, but we have what is commonly known as wetbacks. These are the illegal entrants. Also working.
Illegal
entrants, yes. Something. And they're also working there. And there, it's documented. We've had a lot of, we've cried quite a bit, and we've raised a lot of cane all over the place, but we can't get the enforcement. Now,
I will say now, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it impresses me that we in Congress have not done our job to back up the law enforcement of the laws we have with the appropriations for the personnel. Am I right or wrong on that, Cesar?
Well, I think that that's true to a certain extent, but I think that when it comes to agriculture, Senator, it's more than just the need for legislation, because we have this...
No, no.
It's more than the legal...
We have the law.
Who would enforce the law?
We have the law, and the Labor Department enforces.
Yes, but no, in some cases, other departments...
Well,
give me an example. The Sugar Law, the Sugar Act... has a minimum wage for people working.
Yeah.
Sugar beets is an example. Never been enforced. It's not enforced. Yeah. 3 years ago in California, in the Valley, we tried to enforce it. We had to dump thousands of dollars of our own money. We became the investigators for the federal government. This is, well, it goes on and on and on. The 160-acre limitation, there is no enforcement. And we know why. It's, I guess that part of it, a small part of it, comes from the lack of appropriations, but I think the bigger part, the very big part, is the growers are very powerful politically, and they're very powerful politically in California. And we're going to see some demonstration of their power pretty soon. Again, we're getting some enforcement in California for the first time on the green card commuter for the last week.
You know,
it's all over Congress now.
Senator, if I could go to another subject, and only parenthetically. We have passed what I call the easy laws, better education, better housing, better sanitation, and we did get the minimum wage. And these are working, right?
Yes, they are, yes.
Well, housing not as well as we would like it to work, because there's still a lot of bad housing for migrant workers. But when you get down to that final issue of collective bargaining... That's where we have to go, right uphill, and we need, well, here's Senator Humphrey, Senator Humphrey's. These are his hearings from 1952. We need his kind of muscle, don't you agree?
Senator Williams,
we need
just
a
let
lot
me
of
ask
muscle to get those.
Let me ask you this. If a case like this were happening in New Jersey, the green card case, as the senator from New Jersey, wouldn't you do your darndest to see that law were enforced in your state?
I would.
Isn't this an implication that the political process in California, the governor of California, the senators from California, are not enforcing this law, not seeing that it's enforced?
Well,
yes.
I will be fair to the only man in government from California I know, George Murphy. I don't know Reagan. Who's the other senator?
Senator Kuchel.
Kuchel and Murphy have been with us on most of the issues. Am I right?
Not on the enforcement issue. Right. On the green card commuter? Very, very dead
set.
Well,
maybe not on that, but on better housing, better sanitation, education for the kids.
As long as it doesn't cost the growers any money, they're with us, yes.
Why? You're saying that the political force of the growers in California is so strong.
Tremendous. It's overwhelming power there. They've got our government at this point, our government, our federal government has been it's a part of the strike-breaking process. And it's very sad to say this, but unless we see some enforcement on the green card commuter, I can't what's true. You know, this is the truth.
Like, this is not being shown in California, but I'm free to say, and it's going to be shown in the state of New Jersey, These things that we believe in, Mr. Chavez and I don't care whether I have opposition in New Jersey or not, I'm going to still fight for.
Mr. Chavez, in our remaining moment, just describe for us the boycott that you're backing in terms of the grape products being sold in the United States.
Well, as I said before, the reason that we're boycotting in all over the country, we're boycotting in Canada, and
these
we're
are table
go to
grapes.
Table grapes, and we're going to we hope to Europe to do the boycott, is because we can't win a strike in Delano. We can't, because we can't get the enforcement now.
How's the public know
you
which
won the strike? With the Christian Brothers, Shenley, and
we got 24 growers to go.
Yeah, but 20, you won with three.
With three, we got 24 to go.
How does the public know months. Which grapes not to buy?
Well, let me tell you what we're doing. We started boycotting the Jimara label last year. Well, the moment we began to put pressure on him, he went and broke the federal law on the Food and Drug statute. Broke that by mislabeling grapes. Labels. He used about 100 different labels to get away, so he could get away from the pressure of the boycott.
We went
to the federal government again. They didn't enforce it. That law was not enforced. So what I'm really saying is that we said, okay, we're going to boycott every grape in California except those that are under contract. So we're saying don't eat any grapes until the growers in California sign, with the exception of DiGiorgio.
Cesar really believes what he says. How long did you fast? 21 days?
25 days.
Gentlemen, on that point, we're going to have to say that we have run out of time. I want to thank you both for presenting the story and showing some of the problems that exist in this highly complex field. Senator Williams and Mr. Chavez.
Thank you.